All right. Well, welcome, everyone. Great to see you this morning. My name is Joel Wells. I'm the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church. If you're joining us today as a guest, we're really excited to have you here with us today. Today is a bit of a special service for us. We've been hosting a prophetic pursuit conference for Life Links, which is the network of churches that we belong to. And we've just had a powerful weekend. It was an amazing time in the presence of God. Just saw God touching lives and just really moving by the power of His Spirit. And we're blessed this morning in that we have several of our special guests that were speakers at the conference here in our church today. And we're going to hear from a couple of them this morning. I want to just say this to you. We will probably end at 10:30 today, maybe even later. If the Holy Spirit does His thing. Are we okay with that? I've already instructed the production people at 10:30, put up a go get your kids sign. Just have it ready to go. So don't forget your kids in the middle of it all. But I just really want to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do today. And so let me just get right into it by just telling you who we're going to hear from. Luke, I'm going to introduce you, but then just wait, okay? So our guest speaker this morning is a man named Luke Niebergall, Dr. Luke Niebergall. He lives in Alberta, Canada. Luke has a powerful prophetic gifting. God has really used him to not only to prophesy the word of God, but to train up others how to hear the voice of God. He's the founder of a school called Royal Identity Academy. Luke is also an author. He's written over 20 books. And I think do we have a book table for you today? I think his wife is going to be there selling some of his books after the service if you want to come by and check that out. But I just appreciate your heart, Luke, and I just like the humility that you minister in. It's awesome. So we're so excited to have you share the word of God with us. But before we have Luke come up and share the word of God, we also have another special guest. Don't really even know you yet, Hannah, but had lunch with her yesterday, hoping to have more conversation later this afternoon. But Hannah Dumain is from Quebec. Do you know God's doing some amazing things in Quebec? I am super excited about that, and I want Hannah to just come and share a little bit about what her and her husband, Joel, I met him yesterday, but he's Joel. You know, I would like to be known as Joel from now on, okay? Hannah, I want you to just come and tell us what God is doing in Quebec, but I know that God also uses you prophetically, and so if there's things that you want to speak into our church or whatever, we want to receive that. But I just want to tell you this, Hannah. I'm stirred about Quebec. I want to help you. And if there's something that we can do at Harvest City Church to see the gospel preached in Quebec, I haven't talked to my elders yet, but I just feel stirred I just thinking, man, this is one of the most unreached places in the world. We live in this country. If we can help somebody who's reaching this part of the world, let's do it, Harvest City Church. Do you agree? So come on up, Hannah. Share with us what you want to.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joel. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here. It's really a privilege. And Luke, I promise I won't take... I'm going to say a promise that I can keep 6 minutes. It's really a privilege for me to be here. You guys have no idea how honored I am. It is my first time in Saskatchewan. Actually, haven't been to the west of Canada except for two years ago was my first time. And God is doing something incredible in this part of Canada. I'm so honored and stirred to be here. I don't want to take too much time. I want to share with you just a little bit about what God is doing, about our ministry, Generations Unite, so that you guys can know Quebec, it is a province that has walls around it because of the language. And I'm hoping, actually, I know that yesterday those walls came down. And one of the things the Lord asked me to do this weekend is to represent Quebec to you. And my first thing, and I know I want you to hear my heart, but my first thing is to say, if in any way, and I know in many ways, but we don't know what we don't know, and it's only by being with people that we get to discover who they are, their intentions and their heart. And if in any way Quebec has hurt Saskatchewan by their decisions, by their attitude, by their lack of knowledge, I just want to be that person that first and foremost says, I'm sorry. They don't know what they don't know. And it is a privilege for me to be able to say, I'm part of this nation with you. And I know God has plans for Canada that are higher and above what we can see in the natural. And I'm praying today, just by sharing this with you, that you would look higher, that you would look above what might maybe you have heard or that you have seen on the news or that you have felt even in your spirit, and say God's heart and emotions are for one nation. They are not for a division. His heart is to see this nation wholly enter into its destiny. So just to give you guys a little bit of insight, my husband and I have been in ministry for 26 years. He would have loved to be here. He's kicking himself in the shins for not being here. After I spoke with Joel here, he is a Joel, except you have to start adding the two dots over your E. I'm just saying, okay? But he and I started a ministry 26 years ago, and about 17, 18 years ago, 18 years now, he had a burnout. And in that burnout, the Lord, he came out of it after 1 month, fully restored. And the Lord spoke to him and said, you will gather the province to me to pray for revival and a move of God. And I had three young kids at the time. And I told him, I said, honey, you are crazy. You just got out of a burnout and here's another project. And it's not a small one. But we began calling people that we didn't know, calling people that we did know, and saying, hey, we want to pray for revival. And started gatherings. About 17 years ago, we became senior pastors of our church. And one of the conditions was, we'll be senior pastors, but we must continue gathering the province. This is an essential part, because what we would do every time we would gather the province, we'd have this gathering, and we would introduce what God is doing all over the world. You see, Quebec is French-speaking, which you know, but it's behind the times. You don't realize the privilege that you have of having a Christian school. We can't have any. Of having songs that it comes out on Friday and you can sing it Sunday morning. We have to translate every single song, and it has to be well done. And the material and resources that you guys have access to, like that, whether you like the message Sunday morning or not, you got another one on Monday, you know? And we don't have that kind of access, because most outside of the island of Montreal, most people only speak French, do not understand English, cannot read English books. Most English books are not translated into French because of the costs. So we decided to start bringing in the books, bringing in Eric Johnson, Heidi Bakers, that haven't translated their books, but saying, hey, would you be the book to us and we'll translate it live and bring this material and this revelation and what you're carrying, this breakthrough, to Quebecers so that they can grow up in Christ. And we started seeing a shift in the atmosphere. Now, this was about 16 years ago, 17 years ago, where we started doing this. Then 3 years ago, and we started seeing a shift in culture. Now, I think you all know Quebec has 0.5% Christians. We have in one city, my city of 80,000 people, Saint-Hyacinthe, is a city that has three churches, between 50 and 200 people. I think the biggest one is 200 people. I was wondering how many churches are in Regina. I don't. I'm just saying what I want you to realize is the access to and the impact is there's so much room for salvation and harvest. Can we look at it that way? There is room for a harvest in Quebec. And we started 3 years ago, we started a pastor's network very organically. We were four pastors, wanted to talk about revival. We sat down at the restaurant and we said, we need to spend time talking about revival, discussing what this move of God that's happening and how we're going to set it into place. Four pastors who believes in small beginnings. And then those four pastors, after our first weekend together, we said, let's each invite another pastor or leader that we know wants to talk about revival. So we were eight. And then we started seeing God move because there was restoration. We would take time to pray for one another, prophesy over one another, and we'd go back into our churches and we were excited and bringing the word of the Lord in a new way. And so we said, let's bring eight more. And this network grew over the years to, right now it's about 200 pastors and leaders all over the province. But what you need to realize is most of them are isolated. They're in further regions. They don't have resources. They don't have even a denomination to hold up their hands and arms and say, hey, we're there for you. We're there with you. So 3 years ago, my husband and I stepped down from our pastorate to first and foremost go to Abitibi, Lac Saint-Jean, Gaspé region. I don't know if you know these names, but they're all about, let's say, from Montreal, I'm going to say 8 to 10 hours away. And we'd go there, gather them together on our bill, because the thing is there's not much resources or finances in church. So most of these pastors don't even have a salary from the church. And so our heart was, we don't want to be a financial burden, but we want to encourage you. Because if I can encourage the pastor and leader, then he'll be encouraged to continue the work of the ministry. And if the work of the ministry can keep happening, then the move of God has a place to land and to work. Does that make sense? Come on, come on. We started seeing salvations in these further regions. We go to the First Nations communities as well. We've started seeing such an impact in our nation that now, like I said, the network has grown to 200. The thing that we started realizing was that there was a lack of equipping. So we started a school of ministry. Again, by faith. You know, when God says something, can I just say, don't wait for him to open the door. If he tells you you need to do something, crazy as it may seem, like a school of ministry, just do it. Start training one person, two people. Get material. Start getting equipped. Find out what I have to do. But our job is not to wait. Our job is to obey. So we decided we'll obey. And so without a salary, we stepped down from ministry, started living by faith, which there, I know of three other ministries in Quebec that live by faith in this way. And we started hiring staff, which that is another, I mean, you know what that means. And but we started seeing God move. We got our first year, five students, full-time students. Come on. Come on. I believe in small beginnings because the multiplication of God is incredible. And here I am. I passed my time. But I just want to say God is moving in Quebec. And there's something happening. That just to put a positive note on that school, our last year we were 80 students from all over the province. Okay, so we went from 5 to 8 and now we're doing year 3. And I know God is moving. But the most important thing that God told us to do was to build a bridge with the rest of Canada. A bridge of the move of God. And I believe that there is a pillar of that bridge that is here in the West. And I believe there's another one in the East. And we need to break those walls of division. And we need to break those walls of separation and lack of understanding. And we need to put a face on the West. We do. And you need to put a face on Quebec in the East. And we need to start saying, I want to work with you. Because I can tell you right now, division and divorce is easy. That's the easy way out. That's the quitter's way out. I don't want to work on a relationship, so I quit, right? But this is a hard relationship to work. There are language barriers, there's differences. I mean, we know all the differences and problems, but can I tell you, there's a move of God in the unity. There's a move of God in the harmony. There's a move of God in when we look and we see higher and above and we say, this is what he intends. This is my brother in Christ. Lord, show me their destiny. Show me, and I believe I'm here, and I felt this weekend such a stirring to say, God is moving and building that bridge right now. God is building a bridge for the move of God to cross this nation like we've never seen before. And I just want to tell you, thank you. Thank you for allowing that to happen here. I'll stop about you. Sorry it took so long. I get excited. I just want to take this one minute just to speak over your pastors and leaders. All night long, the Lord kept waking me up, and I'd wake up with, it's time for the takeoff. And I must have told the Lord three times as I woke up, Lord, my takeoff is tomorrow. I'm only leaving tomorrow morning. And then I'd turn around and fall back asleep, and then I felt this urgency, it's time for the takeoff. And I all night long, it must have happened 7 or 8 times. And the Lord told me to speak this to you, Pastor Joel and Pastor Angela. I really feel, do you realize the leaders that God has given you? That he is prepared and he's covered and trained and formed. I feel the Lord is saying to this church, it's time for the takeoff. Because I've put at the helm a couple that are strong in me. And I felt the Lord say to you both, Matthew 14:27, which is, it's Jesus' words, which say, take heart. Take heart, it is I, it is Jesus. Do not be afraid. And as this, there is a new season coming to this church where the take heart that Jesus is saying here is about emboldening you within, which supports an unflinching courage. And I felt the Lord say two things. One, don't be afraid to take off the last season or the last clothes. You don't have to put on someone else's clothes. You are you because he's put you here, and what he's put in you is a necessary thing for this next takeoff. But I felt the Lord say, get ready, because you've put his presence first, because you've put you've pushed through. I saw these controversial situations where you've walked with wisdom. I saw this mantle of wisdom and revelation on you both, where the Lord was saying, I've allowed you to be trained in these situations because the next season, I'm the one that's going to be blowing underneath you both. I'm the one that is going to be bringing you to another level. And you will lead this church to another level. It's going to look completely different. I saw, even during the worship over around you, Angela, I saw this world of creativity and colors, and almost how the Lord was saying, I'm going to give you creative solutions, even for this church and what it's supposed to look like. And I felt that God was making you both as a team. He was strengthening you at another level where you were building together, where one moment it was Angela, one moment it was Joel. But I really felt the Lord say, because you've put before my presence first, because you've said only with the presence, and because you're face has been focused like flint towards him and towards his face, the Lord is saying, I'm bringing you and this church to another level. And I saw the Lord, I just want to say this, over your family. As I know you have kids, I don't know how many but I saw you with your family, that the Lord was giving you fun and restful solutions and strategies so that ministry wasn't a burden on them or on you, and that there was this place of safety for them to grow up and flourish and bypass you. And I just wanted to release that over you guys, because your family is more important than his family. Like he said, you've put my family first, so I'm putting your family first. And I just felt the words that he said were rest and fun. So have fun with your family. Let yourself do that. And so, Lord, can I ask you both to stand? Can I ask you to stand? Can we stand and just put our hands towards them? They need you in this next season. They need your mouths to be shut from criticism. They need your eyes to be able to see what God In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Sure. Man, God is so good, hey? It is such an honor to be here. I just love getting to minister with so many friends, and I don't know if I'm going to get the chance to do this again, so I just want to thank the worship band all weekend long. You guys, it's honestly such an honor for me to get to minister with you and the sound people. It's an honor for me to get to minister with you and everyone who volunteered. Like, thank you so much. And we just have so many great friends that I've gotten to minister with. I love all you guys, and, you know, we have, you know, Todd and Diane and Margaret, you're one of my favorite people to lead with. So fun to minister with you. Hannah, you're just awesome. Angela, I haven't gotten to meet you yet. Great to meet you, though. And the great Pastor Joel. It's always an honor. Well, let's start off with moving this water down here and putting the coffee here, because that's just smart for us all, hey? Now, why don't we pray? How many of you guys know that church is a place, coming here on Sunday morning and meeting in the family of God is a place where our lives can be transformed forever, hey? It really is. And we can make a decision in our hearts. We can either come here on a Sunday and, you know, we can think to ourselves, you know, I just got to get through because it's the good Christian thing to do to come to church on Sunday. Or we can come here expecting a moment that could transform our lives forever. And I'm believing that that's what this is going to be this morning. Do you have faith for that? I certainly do. But if we believe together, I believe we can see something significant. So Jesus, right now in this place, we cast aside weariness. And God, we cast aside lack of faith. And Jesus, we choose for our faith to stand up straight right now. Because God, there's people in the room who are believing for breakthrough and heart transformation, life transformation. And God, we just say to you right now that we're going to stand in faith and believe for you to move this morning. Why don't you just put your hand on your heart right now even? And just say this out loud. Say, God, have your way in me. Remove obstacles this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's get into it. I'm going to move quick, but I believe we're going to go somewhere really deep really quick. You fine with that? I'm going to start off sharing a fun story with you, though. I was ministering in Dubai several years ago, and I had the great honor of getting to minister to 300 pastors in Dubai. And, you know, it's really interesting because in different nations, we wrestle with different things culturally, hey, in the church. In Canada, I think we really struggle with passivity. I think we really struggle with, sometimes a lack of faith and dreaming small, thinking small. Now, in Dubai, what they wrestled with was a bit of celebrity culture concerning ministry and ministers. So it was kind of like whoever was on the stage, it's like everyone expected that God could use them, but not the people sitting in the pews. So I remember I walked into the conference hall, and the place is just buzzing. It's electric. People are praying. And it's like there was so much faith in the room. But the thing is that they were expecting that God could only move through me and not through them, because I was going to be the guy up at the front with the microphone. And I remember I looked up at the wall, and there's this huge banner, huge poster, and the most horrific thing ever was on this poster. It was my face. And my face was like, you know, if you look at the drum shield here, my face was like almost twice the size of this drum shield. And I'm like, I'm a fairly confident guy, but I'm also a self-aware enough guy to know that I'm somewhat handsome, but I'm not handsome enough for my face to be that size. You know, if you can see my pores, that is scary for everyone, because we want the fear of the Lord, not the fear of Luke's pores. So I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh Lord, this is just, I'm like, I don't even know what to do with this. And I'm not the type of guy who likes to even be on a stage in general. So I was like, God, I don't know. I got up to the front and I began to speak. And the first thing I said to them was this. I said, you know, I believe I have the word of the Lord for you guys today. I believe I have the word of the Lord for you. And I said, this is the word of the Lord for you. It's true that in God's kingdom, I am special. That's true. But I'm not more special than you. And I said to them, I said, we're going to have a healing service today. I believe that God's going to move, but I'm not going to pray for a single person. I'm going to teach you to pray for each other, and God's going to heal through your hands instead of through mine. And we did this healing service, and it was just beautiful. I got to train them on how to pray for one another to see each other healed. And no word of a lie, you guys. And I say this not boasting in myself, because I didn't pray for anyone. We saw minimum 90 physical healings, significant healings. There was a man who snuck into the conference. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Muslim man. And he had an incurable bone disease and constant pain from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he got prayed for that day. And he said when he got prayed for, he said it felt like an electric bolt went into the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And all the pain completely left. And he started jumping up and down, completely healed, and started worshiping Jesus and got saved on the spot. Like, isn't that awesome? And at the end of the service, you know, we brought everyone up to the front to just kind of testify as to what God had done, because there were so many healings. It was so powerful, you guys. The presence of God, it's like you can't fabricate it. You could have the most gifted speaker in the world. You cannot fabricate the presence of God. You can't fake it. The healings were so significant that all the children were up at the front laying on their faces weeping. It's like you can't make that up. So at the end of the service, we have everyone up at the front, and they're sharing about how God had healed them, and the most beautiful thing happened. They're sharing, and they weren't like, Luke prayed for me and I got healed. They were like, I remember one man, he said, my daughter, who was like 6 years old, my daughter prayed for me and I got healed. I've had shoulder pain for years, but she prayed for me and I got healed. My wife prayed for me, I got healed. My husband prayed for me, I got healed. And it was such a profound thing that took place, because it was like, they received a revelation that Jesus healed that day, but they also received a revelation of identity that God could do things through them. And it wasn't just an external thing that was taking place. There was an internal shaping that was taking place inside of their hearts, where they didn't only understand God more, they understood themselves more in him. Does that make sense? And it's like, this is what God wants to do for us today, you guys. I'm going to tell you something. The Father wants to name us today. Because for some of us, we've been wrestling through some heart stuff. And God wants to address some things. I truly believe that. I want to do a quick exercise with you guys. Why don't you just close your eyes? And I want you to repeat yourself after me. I want you to say this. I want you to say, I am significant. Okay, now open your eyes again for a second. You know when you're in church and your pastor says to you, turn to your neighbor and say this, that's not what we're doing right now. That's not what we're doing right now. In fact, there's power in declaration, and I'll be really real with you. There are people in this room right now who do not believe that they are significant, and they have never heard that before in their entire lives. And if you chose to believe that today, it would change the way you lived your life from here on forth. Did you know that? So I'm going to lead you guys through just declaring some things over yourself. And I don't want you to just hear the words or say the words. I want you to actually try and feel them. So close your eyes again. Now say this again. Say, I am significant. Say, I am special. Say, I am valuable. Say, I am precious. Say, I am priceless. Say, I am important. Say, God my Father is proud of me. Say, he believes in me. Say, I have an important calling and destiny. I am loved. I am seen. For the women in the room, say this, say, I am beautiful. Say that again, say, I am beautiful. Say that again, say, I am beautiful. For the men in the room, say, I am handsome. Let's get real awkward. Now, why don't you open up your eyes? Now, moment of honesty. Hey, because this is family time. Who here in this room, as you were saying some of those things over yourself, it actually felt kind of tough to say some of those things? If that's you, just put your hand up. A lot of you, if not probably most of you, for those who didn't put their hands up, if we're to be real. And I want to be real with you guys. See, that tension that you have, that you just noticed inside of your heart, it's actually a disbelief in what God actually thinks about us. And it's actually a lie that we are believing about ourselves. And that's what God wants to address today. That's what God wants to address today. And I've been saying this for years, you know, often the mountains that stand between us and our destiny, you know, the things that God has called us to do, they're not often external mountains that stand before us. They're internal mountains that we need to learn to conquer with God. Do you believe that? I'll show you this in scripture. I find this very fascinating. So Exodus chapter 3. This shares the beginning story of Moses. When I say beginning, he was 80 years old, so maybe not his beginning. But it was his commissioning story. And God, his heart is burning that the Israelites will be set free. Just burning, because they're in bondage to Egypt. So God chooses a man. He chooses Moses because Moses was a faithful man. I believe he was a faithful friend. God comes to Moses and he says to him, I want to use you to bring deliverance and freedom to the Israelites who are in bondage to Egypt. And do you remember what Moses says? There's a tension inside of his heart in this moment, hey? Remember what he says? What did he say? Oh, you're quiet. There's like 400, maybe 350 people in the room. You're pretty quiet. What did Moses say? Yeah, he said, I can't speak. I'm not a man of eloquence, you know, and he goes off and God's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is me paraphrasing. God did not say, whoa, 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 but I'm paraphrasing. I've got the doctor in front of my name now, so I can get away with some things I couldn't get away with before. I'm just joking. God's like, no, I'll teach you how to speak. But Moses is like, no, I can't speak. I'm not a man of eloquence. I can't speak. So God gives in and he's like, okay, well, I'll raise up your brother Aaron and he'll be your mouthpiece. And it's like, Moses will be the prophet to you, you know, and like God releases him. Now, here's the fascinating thing, you guys. In this moment, God was trying to address something in Moses' heart. See, if you remember in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 12, it talks about how Moses was the most humble man who ever walked the earth in that time period. Do you remember that verse? You know what's funny? You know who wrote the book of Numbers? Moses. Moses said that of himself, but it's scripture, so it's true. Now, when we think of Moses' humility, we often think back to this moment where Moses is like, well, no, I can't speak with eloquence. No, that's not humility. That was self-hatred. God was trying to address it. God was trying to level a mountain, but he wasn't willing to do it. Now, we fast forward in this story. God uses Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And they're wandering throughout the wilderness. Now, something we don't realize is that because Moses chose to not overcome this wound inside of his heart, this internal mountain, he would have carried this throughout his days of leading Israel. Can you imagine trying to lead a nation, but being terrified of speaking? It would be torment. And all of a sudden, if we fast forward in the story, so this happened in Exodus chapter 3. If we fast forward in the story all the way to Numbers 20, the Israelites, they begin to grumble. They begin to grumble. They're like, we don't have any water. Were we led out to the wilderness just so that we would thirst to death? It would have been better if we stayed in Egypt. And they're complaining to Moses. So Moses goes to God and is like, God, they're complaining. I don't know what to do. They need water. And God says something that strikes the wound that Moses never overcame. He says, Moses, speak to the rock and water will flow from it. Speak to the rock and water will flow from it. What did Moses do? Instead of speaking to the rock, he struck it with a rod and he was disobedient to God. He disobeyed God all because he didn't overcome a wound that God was trying to address way back in Exodus chapter 3. And we see this disobedience as a small thing, but this was the very thing that prevented Moses from stepping into his promise to step into the promised land. This was why, biblically, Because he disobeyed, he could not step into the promised land. And it was not an external mountain. It was an internal thing inside of his heart that he chose not to address. Oh, you hear that? It's so important that we deal with this, you guys. You know, I have the honor of writing books. It's a huge part of what I do right now. I've written 26 books. If you can believe it, I cannot believe it. I think it's just too many books. So when people hear that I write books, they assume that I had always written, and I haven't always written. When I was growing up in school, I really struggled with reading. I really struggled with learning. It was like I would have a book in front of me, and I would read the words, but by the time the words got to my head, they would just be a jumbled mess. And it wasn't long before I was diagnosed with dyslexia, as well as many other learning disabilities. So all throughout my schooling years, it was just such a frustrating process for me. In fact, I had so much troubles with reading that when we would take tests in schools, while all the other kids would take normal tests, a teacher would actually have to sit beside me and read the test with me and to me so that I could make sense of the questions so that I could answer them myself. So by the time I graduated grade 12, I had not finished successfully reading an entire book. I don't know how I graduated without having read a book, but I did. And when I was 22 years old, I had an encounter with the Lord. How many of you guys know this, that God loves you too much to leave you broken? Isn't that a great truth, hey? God loves you too much to leave you broken. I'm 22 years old. I'm spending time with the Lord, and all of a sudden I have a vision in my mind. You guys believe that God speaks through visions? That's very biblical. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit over all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. You know what that word all flesh means? Whole body. God will pour out his spirit over the whole body. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Whole body, even the Baptists, absolutely. Even the Alliance, yeah, they can have it too. So God can speak through visions. So I had this vision. And it looked like I was walking with God the Father through a library. And we're walking together through this library, and he's showing me these different books on these different bookshelves. And he says, I want to show you some books that are very important to my heart. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I'd love to see them. And I thought the Father was just, you know, he's just sharing something with me, you know, like I'm his boy. He leads me to this bookshelf, and he reaches up and he grabs a book and he pulls it down, puts it in my hand, and I read the name where the author's name should be, and my name was written there. Now, it's very fascinating when you're wounded, hey? Because when you have a wounded heart, even an encouragement can seem like someone's poking fun at you. And I read that, and I literally laughed out loud because I thought God the Father was poking fun at me. And I said to him, I was like, God, I can't even read. How am I supposed to write a book? And he spoke this to me. This is what he said to me. He said, Luke, your entire life, you have believed that you're not capable as an intellectual, but I'm going to show you that I've created you to be brilliant. He said, I want you to start writing your first book. Now, how many of you guys know this? I had a decision to make in this moment. Because I could choose not to trust the Father, or I could choose to take a chance on him. You know, I said this throughout the conference, actually. I find this really fascinating. In the Bible, there was a man named Israel. You remember Israel? How many sons did he have? 12. He had 12 sons. Now, his first 11 sons were all named after their mother. It was only the last son who was named by Israel. That was Benjamin. So we had 11 sons named by the mother, one son named by the father. What's the teaching in this? If we don't allow the Father to name us, what we will do is we will adopt the world as our mother, and we will ask her to name us. We'll ask her to label us, to define us. So in this moment, I had a choice to make. The world was telling me that I was dyslexic. The world was telling me that I was not capable, but the Father was trying to give me a new name. So I started writing this book. And I remember it was so hard for me. It would take me about 45 minutes at a time to still my thoughts enough to write a single sentence. And I did that for my first 50 pages. By the end of these 50 pages, I started rereading what I wrote. It was absolute gibberish, but the Lord spoke to me and he said, you've been faithful with the little, so now I'm going to give you much. If you start rewriting your book, it's going to make perfect sense. I started rewriting my book, made perfect sense, and the Lord healed me from dyslexia as well as many other learning disabilities. You know, this is why I don't feel uncomfortable saying that I've written 26 books, because it's not in my own doing. The Lord actually raised me up in my weakness. I'm completely incapable of doing anything like that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm the most introverted person in the room. I have 26 books to prove it. I spent a lot of time by myself. But it's amazing that God can take an introvert and throw him up on the stage to speak to amazing people like yourselves. You know, it's like God will raise us up in our weaknesses. But see, the Father wants to name us, and he wants to recount some of these lies that we've believed about ourselves, some of these labels. You know, the word Father's an interesting one, hey? I don't know if there's another word in the English dictionary that maybe provokes more emotion than the word Father. And sometimes it's good emotion, sometimes it's bad emotion, depending on our experience. But you know, when Jesus walked the earth, he had Joseph, but later on in the Gospels, we don't hear much of Joseph, hey? We don't hear much of him. And Joseph was a good man, so I don't believe that Joseph left Mary and left Jesus and Jesus' siblings. I believe that Joseph probably passed away, because we don't hear about him later on in the story. So Jesus, even though he was connected to his heavenly father, he didn't have a biological father around for a lot of his growing up. So Jesus literally bore the weight of fatherlessness. He bore the weight of fatherlessness. And why is this significant? It's significant because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just abolish sin, he abolished fatherlessness. Because when he died on the cross, we were actually clothed with his sonship so we could be reconciled to the Father. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So we could be named by him. I want to share one last story with you guys. Is it okay if I share one last story and then pray? I know we're a bit funny for time today. Can I be vulnerable with you? No one said yes, so maybe I'll end my message right now. I'll be vulnerable with you, and I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't say that I want to be vulnerable right now. But you know, a lot of people, they look at me and they see what I do with my life. I've been traveling and speaking for 16 years, so I can't believe I'm veering up to 20 years of ministry, of traveling and speaking around the world and doing what I do. But people assume that I grew up in the church. I didn't grow up in the church. I got saved at the age of 16. And, you know, before that, I grew up experiencing a lot of abuse at the hands of multiple stepfathers. And again, this is just me being real and vulnerable. I grew up being verbally abused, physically abused, sexually abused, mentally abused, all at the hands of stepfathers. And you know, it's really interesting that when you grow up in dysfunction, you don't know that it's dysfunction because it's all that you know. So I didn't know that this wasn't normal. And I remember when I met my amazing wife, Sophie, we were just engaged and we were sitting at her house and we're sitting on the couch and we're just talking about our stories and our, you know, our childhoods. And we're just getting to know each other as new couples do and newly engaged people do. And we're sharing about our childhoods, and she shares about hers, and I start sharing about mine, just things that I thought were normal. And I watched this woman who had become my wife, I watched her grab her abdomen, keel over, and start weeping. And she said four words that transformed my life. She said, "Your childhood wasn't normal." And for the first time, I realized, I was like, this is why I'm having panic attacks every single day. This is why I'm depressed. This is why I'm anxious. And what I didn't realize was that for years, I had been battling with chronic post-traumatic stress disorder, and I just had no clue. Isn't it amazing how detached we can be from ourselves? And you know, I remember praying the prayers and I was like, God, just heal me. I understand what's going on right now. Please heal me. Level these mountains inside of my heart, God. I don't know what to do. But a quick prayer didn't do anything. I tried going to counseling, which I believe in, but it didn't work for me at the time. I tried going through inner healing, which I believe in. It didn't work at the time. I tried going through deliverance at the time, but it didn't work for me. So all I had was just this yes in my heart. And I'm battling this for 3 years straight at the peak of my chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. And I remember after 3 years, you guys okay with this, by the way? I think sometimes we just expect polished preachers. But man, I'd just rather be real. I don't really care. Like, the Lord told me a long time ago, he said, if you can actually model vulnerability from a stage, then it'll encourage others to be vulnerable before me. So I'd rather live that out. And you know, I remember after 3 years of this, I'm sitting with the Lord. Sophie was away visiting her sister. And I'm sitting with the Lord and I'm just playing my guitar and I'm just spending time with him. And all of a sudden he spoke to me and he said, my goodness is going to pass before you tonight. And I was like, yeah, I know that's in the Bible, but I was like, God, I don't know what that means at the moment. But I was like, if you're on it, I want it. And no word of a lie, you can believe me or not, but no word of a lie, I open my eyes and I see in my peripheral vision that there's someone sitting next to me. And I look over and it was Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. He wasn't glowing, looking like the King of Kings. He came lowly like the friend of friends. And he reached over and he placed his hand on my chest, over my heart. And it was like he was reaching into these deep, wounded, traumatized places that I didn't even know were there. And I began to just weep. And I'm going to tell you something. That in and of itself was a sign and wonder, because I did not cry ever. Because when you grew up experiencing abuse like I experienced, if you didn't get tough, you didn't survive. So I did not know how to cry. And I started to weep for 2.5 hours, just weeping, weeping, weeping. The powerful thing is that Jesus wept harder than I did. And that was the day when Jesus healed me from chronic post-traumatic stress disorder. And I share that with you right now because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I say it with the greatest faith in my heart right now, that God's goodness wants to pass before you today. Because some of you guys, it's like you're harboring stuff inside of your hearts. And man, I'll be really real with you. I'll share messages like this in front of teenagers, like youth groups and stuff like that. And they're all over it. And they'll be like, yes, I'm in pain. I want God to heal me. I need him to address some things. And they're so quick to be like, I'm hurting. But then I get around adults and I share messages like that, like this. But there's a hesitancy inside of us because we're actually afraid to say, I'm actually still really hurt from what happened 15 years ago. I'm really hurt from what happened 30 years ago. And it's like, man, we got to just get over it. Because the Father wants to come and rename us. Do you believe that today could be a day of healing for you? If we put our faith to it, God could set your heart free today from something you've carried for 40 years. He can do it. And if he doesn't do it in a split moment now, he can start a process today where he leads you into freedom. But today can be a day of new beginnings where we lay aside the past labels to pick up our identity in the Father as sons and daughters. Let's do this. I know it's getting a little late, but I want to pray. We'll start with this. If you can feel that something's happening inside of your heart right now, where it's like, I can feel my emotions starting to stir, God's trudging up some stuff. If that's you right now, I'm gonna count to three. And what I want you to do is to not care less who is around you right now. I want you to think about your freedom and the fact that the Father wants to name you. If this is you, I'm gonna count to three and I want you to stand to your feet. 1, 2, 3. Now we're going to do this. Those of you who stood, I want you to come to the front. We're going to pray and we're going to get into this. I don't know if we want someone from the worship team right now to come up and maybe play something nice on keys. Yeah, that'd be amazing. So now as these people are coming up to the front, these are the ones who are really feeling something right now in their hearts. It's like God's doing something deep inside of me. Now, if you're sitting in the group right now and you're like, you know what? I don't feel something stirring, but by faith, I want this. Then I want you to just stand up as well. And if you want to, come on up to the front. If this morning isn't for you, at the very least, be praying for those who are getting their breakthrough right now. I would ask that. And I want to pray over you guys right now here up at the front. God's going to begin to move. And I'm going to say something as I'm praying and releasing the Father's heart. If you start feeling emotion starting to stir inside of you, do not swallow it back down. Let it out. A lot of you guys have been strong enough for years, some of you decades. Just let it out. Jesus, right now we let down the walls. We let down the walls, God, and we say to you, we're not capable of standing in our own identity. We need you to name us Father. And God, we've gone through stuff. Some of us have been hurt. Some of us have been abused. Some of us have been rejected or abandoned. Some of us feel anxious and depressed. But Father, you can fill every need. You can fill every need and you can heal every wound. You can heal every heart. So in the safety of your presence, Father, I'm going to pray some deep things right now. In Jesus' name, right now, I break off trauma from rejection. In Jesus' name, right now, I break off trauma from abandonment. In Jesus' name, right now, I break off any trauma from any form of sexual abuse. I break off trauma from any form of physical abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse. I break it off right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's stuff coming up in hearts right now, you guys. If it's coming up, just let it out. Encounter him. If you need to stand, stand. If you need to lay, lay. If you need to kneel, kneel. Do what you need to do to just receive a Father's blessing right now. Right now in Jesus' name, I speak to depression and I declare that it is shattered off. I speak to anxiety. I declare that it comes under submission to the cross of Christ. I speak to different anxiety disorders, Jesus, and I declare they are broken. I speak to those who wrestle with post-traumatic stress disorder, God. We declare it's broken in Jesus' name. Some of you right now, we just need to say this. Just say breakthrough. We got to just declare this over ourselves. Say breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Say freedom. Say freedom. Say freedom. Say freedom. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. Say Jesus. We declare breakthrough now in Jesus' name. And Father, right now, I pray that you release a Father's blessing over every single person in this room. Rename us. And I'm going to release this over you. Open up your heart. I declare this over. I declare that you are significant. You are significant. You are special. You are precious. You are priceless.
You are loved. You are valuable. You're important. You're capable. And Father, right now, I pray that you come down and that you just hold hearts and that you just begin to love the areas of our hearts that have never felt love, that have never felt peace. Jesus. Yeah, just soak in this. Just stand in this. God's doing the good heart stuff today, you guys. He's doing the heart stuff. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. He loves you so, so, so deeply. He loves you so, so, so deeply. You guys, there's no rush today. There's no rush today. You know, I know we have a second service coming up here at some point, but man, wouldn't it just be beautiful if we're just already encountering Jesus before the others arrive, you know, and we can just be up here just encountering him, just soaking him. Let the Father name you. Let him love on you. Don't rush past this moment. You know, and I feel like I need to just move out of the way and let the Father just minister to you. Just stay here, kneel here, lay here. Just encounter him, receive from him, but don't leave until you get your encounter, and don't leave prematurely, because I'm going to tell you something. Some of you guys have been waiting for this hug from God for a very long time. And just soak it in. Just receive from him.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon. I'm